In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, who in the abasement of your Son have raised up a fallen world, fill your faithful with holy joy, for on those you have rescued from slavery to sin, you bestow eternal gladness. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs, to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest in him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned rejoicing and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. How are you all doing today? Good? You're awake? Good. It's good to be awake, especially if you're at Mass. So, we have a homily in three parts today, but I'm only going to give you part one. You can read parts two and three when it hits the website. We want to focus on being missionary disciples. Missionaries of mercy, missionaries of peace, missionaries of God's love. Now, that's really just part of who we are. Now, when you think about that from the beginning, not just the beginning of the church, but the beginning of God forming a people. Think about this. So, like the Israelites, the Jews of Jesus' time, and Christians who came before you and I, all of us, the members of God's family, have been a community that lives within a larger community of people for whom God's not a big deal. God's not an issue. In practice, God may not exist. We live among people who don't understand from whom their inherent dignity and value come. And subsequently, because of that, they seek to find their meaning and identity from a whole host of other current secular ideals, things, philosophies. Unlike the disciple of Christ, unlike you, they more often than not seem to have little direction and meaning in their lives beyond having a job, getting money, excelling at achieving social status, indulging in some form of entertainment, enjoyment, personal pleasure. For God's family members, in the past as well as today, the words of Jesus in today's gospel passage have a lot of meaning, a great depth of meaning. The harvest is great and the laborers are few. Now, I want you to imagine, bearing in mind your own level of activity, how much so few at any given time in history have accomplished in the name of God for sharing the truth of God. So at the time of Christ, they estimate there was 170 million people in the whole world. Can you imagine how much space everybody had? 170 million people in the whole world. And that by the end of the first century, so in the 70 years that passed between the death of Christ and the rolling over or the death of the last apostle, John, they estimate there are approximately 80,000 followers of Christ. 80,000. Today, there are 8 billion people in the world, and of that, 8 billion, there are almost 2.5 billion Christians in the world today. And of that 2.5 billion, almost 1.5 billion are Catholics. 80,000 when John, the beloved disciple, died. 1.3 billion Catholics out of 2.5 billion Christians right now. That is some mighty fine missionary work. Don't you agree? Yeah. 75% of North America is Christian. 75%. I remember reading in the midst of all the goings on in the last couple weeks, someone angry about the Supreme Court's decision saying, the judges and the politicians, the people of this country need to know, we are not a Christian nation. I don't think they read the statistics. 75% of North America is Christian. 73% of the United States is Christian. And of that, 75 million are Catholics. 75 million. Now, I know probably like me, you're wondering when you go to church where all the rest of them are. Because at 75 million, you'd think we wouldn't have a whole lot of room, right? Although it's good to see as many of you that are here today. So we can honestly say that the ancient believers clearly did not labor in vain. You and I wouldn't be here if it weren't for the missionary efforts of believers who came before us, whether that were your parents, grandparents, a stranger, no matter who, somebody had to share the faith with you. Somebody had to bring you to the church and sponsor you for baptism. Someone had to continue to teach you the faith. Now that probably, in your lifetime, amounts to a whole lot of people participating in the mission field with God just for you. Right? Isn't that, like, think about that. And how often do you ever stop and pray for those who have shared the faith with you, taught the faith to you, helped you understand the truths of the faith, who helped show you the way of Christ? How often do we pray for them? Do we remember them? Now, that's the good news. And then there's some tricky news hidden in that good news. Looking at belief in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even given all those numbers, we still have to say that at least 3 out of 4 people have not yet heard or believed. 3 out of 4. A large portion of which would be agnostic or practical atheists, you know. They live their lives as if God did not exist. And how many of these billions who once knew Christ have subsequently rejected the faith? Raise your hand if you know somebody who was a Christian or was Catholic and no longer practice the faith. Right? Look around, yeah. Almost every single person here. So not only is the harvest plenty and the work available for the laborers in the mission field of God great, and the successes of that work by the grace and power of God has been incredible, it never ends because people lose faith. People get scandalized. People become more enamored by the secular truths because the truths of God maybe are too hard to understand or were not adequately explained. There are many out there who misunderstand the truths of God. I know some people leave the church. They don't leave God. They continue to worship in other Protestant or non-denominational churches, but they leave the Catholic Church saying, I wanted to go to a church where they preach the Word of God. And I wonder, what were you paying attention to when you came to Mass? Were you awake? Right? Because what the whole first half is the Word of God. And the second half is actually based in the Word of God. You can't get more Word of God than in the Catholic Church. Amen? Amen? Now as well, we have to say that among so many who do call themselves Christians, how many could accurately be described as being actively engaged in the mission? Laborers in the field bringing in the harvest. Because too often, by laborer, Catholics of all stripes, think of priests or religious brothers and sisters as the ones who do that work. How come the priest isn't going out visiting every person in the parish? I'm giving to the Franciscans, so I don't have to do. I don't have to love the poor. I don't have to serve. I'm giving so that someone else will. I'm paying someone else to do it. That's what religious are for, right? Or one hears people expressing regret since there is a shortage of priests to be able to do all those things that we think they should do, expressing regret that today there are so few vocations. Now, a little bracket here. Although there are parts of the world that are struggling with men and women responding to the call of God in their lives to become priests or religious, the U.S. is having a bit of a boom. Seminaries are very full. They're building more. And there are more Americans becoming priests than have been in the past. So that's a good thing. And there are religious communities of men and women in this country that are growing by leaps and bounds. There are places in the world, such as Latin America, Africa, India, where you never hear the words, a vocation drought. You just don't hear it, because there are no end of people hearing the call of God and responding to God's will in their lives to serve in this way. But we hear the bad news and we read the headlines, kind of look at the glass half full, since there used to be more in Ireland, in the UK, in North America. And so we say, we should become like the Protestant churches. We should have married priests. We should have women priests. Another bracket, Catholics who say that, to actually look at those churches who do have that and look at the results. That didn't solve any problems. And in fact, they have way more people leaving the church than the Catholic Church. We're the fastest growing church in those places. So that's not going to solve the problem. But why do we ask for that? Because most Catholics want someone else to do the missionary work. They want the priests and the religious to do all the heavy lifting. And that the laity, their part, is to come to church for an hour on the weekend, put a few dollars in the basket, support particular projects, and go on their merry way, figuring the rest of us, the priests and the religious, will do everything else. But that's not actually part of the vocation of the sacramental priesthood or the religious, in particular, priests. That's actually the role of the laity, to do that more. If you think that we should be out knocking on the doors in the neighborhood, visiting the sick, going to the hospitals, etc., etc., for sure for sacramental ministry, that is definitely the work of the priest. But apart from that, that's your mission field. To pray for them, to visit them, to minister to the poor, to teach, to make sure that your churches are in good working order, to participate in the governance of the church through finance councils, parish councils, stewardship committees, etc., 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 to be doing it at work, to be doing it at home, forming the children, educating them in the faith. All of those things are part of this mission field that's talked about in the gospel today. Now, as successful as they were in the past, you can bet there were also members of the body of Christ, the church, who were not doing their part. There's always going to be somebody who's not doing their part. Different times in history, there's going to be fewer, or there's going to be more, but there's always going to be some who are not doing their part. Now think about those numbers I talked about at the beginning of this homily. 75.5 million Catholics in this country. 75% of the country saying they are Christian. What would it take from us for it to be 100%? What would it take from us of that 75% who may not be sharing the load or who may be nominally faithful, et cetera, et cetera? What would it take for us to re-evangelize the Christians and the Catholics in the churches? What would it take? Now, if the statistics about the parish are true, about all parishes in general in this country, that literally less than 10% of the registered parishioners do 100% of the work needed in a parish, then potentially, let's say we're being really generous, 20% of the Catholics out there in the world are doing 100% of the missionary work. What if it were just 10% more? Let's say there's 100, well, I don't know how many are here. Let's say there's 50 of you here who are actively, like God is smiling on you in the way in which you are participating in the mission work that He set out for us. How much more of a difference could we make in our families, our parishes, our homes, our workplaces, our city, if 10 more people started carrying the load? Do what God is asking them to do as missionaries. Just 10. Maybe we could hope for 15. I know in the parish, if I had 10 or 15 more people who were volunteering for the work that's available, that would be a doubling of the people who volunteer. And we'd be able to do twice as much. Wouldn't that be amazing? Amen? Yeah. You know, Mother Teresa of Calcutta once said, speaking to a young guy who wanted to do something for Christ, "I would like to do something." He was saddened by the problems he saw in the world. But being one person, he didn't know what he could possibly do that would help. "I'm only one person," he said to her, "and the world is such a mess. What can I do?" She told him, "Pick up a broom." Basically saying, start where you are and do anything that's necessary. Just start. Even if it's ever so small, seemingly insignificant, start doing. Because living our faith as missionaries isn't just an expectation of God for us, and it isn't just one more rule. Sharing faith and the message to repent and believe is above all a corporal work of mercy, a labor that brings greater peace into the hearts of human beings and therefore the world. And it's an act of love for neighbor. All of it, our loving response to God's love for us. Now, no matter, let's say, what your politics are in relation to the constitutional right to bear arms, how many of you would like to see less gun violence in our world? Fewer children shot dead in schools. How many of you would like to see less of that? Yeah. How many of you would like to see less filth and crap on television and be able to actually watch it with your family? Yeah. Or not be embarrassed what you're watching privately, right? I know, I hear your confessions. How many of you would like to see a world, a country, a city with less division, with less animosity and anger? How many of you would like to see people driving on the highway with respect for your life? Yeah. There are so many ailments in the world in which we live. Like this young man said, the world is in such a mess. And insofar as every living human being on the face of the earth isn't an active, full-on Jesus freak, We're going to have a messy world. Different people in different parts of their journey in faith. People who reject it. People who don't want to hear about it at all. There's always going to be poor. There's always going to be a mess. There's always going to be violence because of that. But what Christ promises us is that if we pick up the broom and participate in his mission, which is ours, for the salvation of the world, we can and we will have less violence. There won't be so much mental illness caused by the world we live in. There won't be so much pollution killing so much of creation. There won't be so many divorces among Catholics. Not that we use that word. There won't be so much suffering. There will be more peace in the hearts of human beings. That leads to peace in the world. That is the promise of God. Participating in the mission to build the kingdom of God here as we prepare to live forever with him. We can have a better world, but we need more than 10 or 15% of the followers of Jesus to have a broom in their hand, actively engaged. And so he challenges us today in these words of the gospel to consider, how much of a missionary disciple am I? What is he calling me to do more than I'm doing, more than I've ever done? Maybe to begin.